If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Welcome to the Steelers Outpost Podcast, a proud member of the Armchair All-Americans Network. It's July 21st, 2019. This is Tom in the Santa Fe, New Mexico Outpost, and Nick joins me from the Houston Outpost.
Mr. Worldwide.
I am on the last day of a business meeting over the weekend. I just finished an 80-minute massage. I am coming out of a coma as we speak.
Well, when you work the 1,000-hour work weeks that you work, somehow finding extra hours that don't even exist within the work week, you're entitled to a little R&R on occasion, even though R&R is a little hard to find in between the travel. But I expect that means you're feeling light and loose for us to have a badass 101st episode, because I know we had an awesome 100th episode last week. We were really happy with it. You guys seemed to like it. Anybody else who hasn't heard it, go back and listen to it. We had Pete Butch, my cousin, Big Papa Tom's nephew, on the podcast. We had some great conversations, both football related and non-football related, but there's no come down here there's no peak at the 100th episode. We got a bunch of good stuff to talk about today, and it's only going to get better from here on out because training camp is right around the corner.
Well, let me start with something that people consider football today that still mystifies me. Let's just, for context, what is that gaming machine you still have in the bedroom that you, from
GameCube.
The house?
GameCube. And we have GameCube. I stayed on GameCube for quite a while, so...
Yeah. And what's the version of Madden you're working from?
Okay, so I worked off of Madden... Okay, so it's weird because the name of Madden is always like a year later than the actual year it is. So I think it was Madden 07 with Sean Alexander on the cover, right after Benjamin Todd Roethlisberger won his first Super Bowl with the Steelers. I basically stuck with that version of Madden for a decade plus. Well, I had that, I guess it was my freshman year of high school or going into my sophomore year of high school, right after the Steelers won that first Super Bowl in my lifetime. And I just stuck with that version because I can't see any issues with it. You know, you got the Steelers Super Bowl winning team on there. And so, yeah, I kept up with it for over 10 years when I finally caved and bought the new Madden. Actually, this past year, I bought an Xbox One off of eBay for only one purpose, which was to buy the new Madden, because my other favorite player in the history of all time, Antonio Brown, was gracing the cover. So I figured, oh, it would be unpatriotic for me to not buy Madden, even though I've been resisting having a gaming system in my house for productivity purposes. But I bought that. Now here we are.
Allow me to get to my point.
It was a good story. People want to know these things. People play Madden.
Yeah, that's what I want to get to. Do you remember what an emotional basket case that game made you?
It still does. Not
remember what I used to tell you?
Yeah, it's very annoying. I tell a lot of my friends, you would walk in or you would knock on the door from the side and say, Nick, it's just a game. It's not real.
I said, it's just a cartoon.
Oh, yeah, just a cartoon. So yeah, block that part out.
What's really funny to me.
It's not real is the other line you used to say. It's not real. And I say, Dad. Right. It's real.
So it turns out I'm wrong, because everybody thinks it's real. Just like people are starting to drop off of the NFL and just focus on fantasy. I had no idea, because I was living under a rock, the hype that the Madden ratings caught, the strong and drum that it causes when the Madden ratings come out.
Yeah.
And how offended players are and how much it matters.
You know, what's funny is you're totally right. I mean, obviously it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. And let me preface this next comment with another comment. I know, you know, sometimes when you are creating content for a podcast, like what we do, it can be wise to not listen to other people's podcasts so that you don't mistakenly steal something that they're saying or form opinions that aren't really your own. But and there's definitely value to that. And there's certain times where I try not to listen to other people, you know, before we record. But there are other times when I'm like, listen, man, I got a crazy day. I've got hour long commutes. I work all day long. And then I work all night long when we're talking about the music and all that stuff. So these podcasts get me through some of the day. So I do listen to a lot of stuff out there. And it's kind of cool to see what people are thinking. And whenever we I think that, you know, when it comes to podcasts or news, sometimes it doesn't end right there. Sometimes it's fun to talk about what other people say on podcasts, and there's a lot of other great ones out there. So Adam Lefko on his podcast, formerly of Sims and Lefko fame, now he's got his own podcast, the Lefko podcast. He made a good point with, he's a guard for the Arizona Cardinals, Justin Pugh. This dude's really well-spoken. He's going to be a great broadcaster when he's done. But they talked about the Madden rankings thing earlier this week, and they did an awesome job, and they had a fun conversation. And Justin Pugh is a guard. He's a very solid guard who's been injured for the past 2 years, so Madden crushed him on his ratings. But Justin Pugh's pretty hilarious and accurate, so Lefko played this game with him when he asked him, okay, Pugh, like, guess your ranking, and guess what they rated you at speed and strength. And Pugh, he lowballed himself on everything. So it kind of worked out all right. But Lefko made a great point that I want to talk about, which is that the reason why this Madden rating thing does sort of matter is because, you know, perception of players is everything. And there are only a few psychopaths like us and a lot of our listeners out there who are like rewatching games or interested in evaluating three technique defensive linemen and see what they're doing on a game-to-game basis. Madden kind of tells the general public and general football fans who's good and who's not good. And it's funny to say, but you might even be able to leverage that kind of stuff in contract negotiations, not your Madden rating per se, but your reputation as a good player, because nobody really knows how good corners truly are. They're not even in frame for like 70% of the game. But when Madden tells you that, you know, Joe Hayden is the 27th best corner in the NFL, a lot of people, especially teenagers and kids who are growing up, sort of take that as gospel. So basically, that's sort of why it matters socially.
It doesn't matter for a player. I mean, in a team, it was interesting. So it was interesting. I was just trying to read and figure out how they did these ratings, and they claim to use 50 different data points for each player. And so I imagine it's pretty sophisticated.
Baseball. Yeah, it's not Moneyball.
Yeah, so I don't know about the – I mean, I guess it's their formula, so it's correct insofar as that they define what the rating should be and what it should be comprised of. I just – I don't know how it helps a player other than does their social popularity affect their earnings?
I was sort of insinuating that when I was talking about the contracts earlier, but admittedly, like, that's a reach. Like, I'm – you know, they can prove how good they are even if they don't have a good
– It's all ego, ranking. Right?
Yeah, but that's a big deal too. That's partially why you play it. But I'll tell you this much, just looking at the Madden ratings, and I know a lot of Steelers fans will agree with me, but I think other fans from other teams would agree too. These ratings, they are trash. They're really bad. And there's some, and that sounds like opinion. It's not an opinion. It's a fact. Let's start with Carson Wentz as an 80 overall. I think, what is he, like the 18th ranked quarterback or something like that? The guy who's 1 year removed from being the best player in the NFL, basically on track for the MVP before he tore his ACL diving into the end zone against the Rams. And I get it that you're ranking him at an 80 because of some injuries that he's had, the same way Aaron Rodgers went down from a 99 to a 90 this year, which is ridiculous that you could say players like Drew Brees or Philip Rivers are ranked higher than Aaron Rodgers. You don't watch football. You don't know anything about football. You're extrapolating and either. So what I think that they did this year, the reason why I picked Rodgers and Wentz is because they both are recovering from injuries. And I think what Madden did was they placed a large amount of emphasis on the fact that those guys were injured. And so they lowered their ratings, but that's just not, it's not an intelligent way to diagnose how good a player is or how big of an impact they have on a game or on a team. And It's just you can't play Moneyball. It doesn't work in football. Like in baseball, so many of the situations that people are in are controlled. Like it's pitcher versus batter. There's less variables going around. There's nobody blocking for the batter. There's nobody, you know, Matt Ryan in the Super Bowl against the Patriots a couple of years ago on the famous play where Dont'a Hightower comes in unblocked and tackles him. I think he forced a fumble on that play because the Falcons running back Devonta Freeman just didn't block anybody. So he's supposed to block Dont'a Hightower. He couldn't identify who he was supposed to block. He didn't block anybody. Hightower hits Matt Ryan when he's in the middle of throwing to a wide open Taylor Gabriel, who probably would have gone for a 60-yard touchdown because the Patriots brought basically an all-out blitz. Long story short, that's just my way of saying, like, baseball, you can do these little statistical analyses, but in football, it only goes so far. So the ratings are pretty brutal, and Pittsburgh fans in particular are the Steelers got pretty crushed, but I haven't looked at all the other overall team rankings. So
let me just say that that's playing right into our strategy to lowball everything and come in as the underdog.
I don't think
that's a bad thing. But what's I don't know, really, what do these ratings mean? Do they mean it's a projection of what they think the players are going to be like in the coming season, or retrospectively what they did? Because if you're saying they're lowering these ratings because of injuries they think might affect a player in the coming season, that's a projection.
Right.
Is that what this thing means?
Okay, so I think it's where the player is at this exact moment in time, even when we're talking about the offseason of the NFL, because now that the gaming consoles link to the internet, they update the rankings kind of like week to week. They update your ratings. So I think they're like, yeah, Wentz is an 80 right now, but if he kills it in the first five games, then we'll pop him up to a 95 or whatever it is. So I think that's what they're doing. And obviously right now, for any of our listeners, like if you don't know the overall rankings, when I say Rodgers is a 90 and Wentz is an 80, that doesn't mean anything unless I tell you who, like what those ratings are relative to. Maybe Rodgers is the highest quarterback at a 90. Well, he's not. And I think the highest is Mahomes at like a 97. It's Brady at a 96 right behind that. And I believe the third guy, and this is what proves, like, damn, you couldn't have hired professional football people to help you out. The third ranked quarterback is Philip Rivers at 94, who is a full 9 points above Ben Roethlisberger. And Rivers had a very nice year last year. But if you know anything about football or watch the Chargers play, Rivers was very good. He cut down on his interceptions, which have been his Achilles heel over the past 4 years, when he was pretty much tasked with carrying a talent deficient Chargers team over the past few years. They have always gotten crushed by the injury bug. So basically, he didn't have a lot of talent around him over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, and he had to throw the ball 50 times a game and come what may with that. And so, you know, he threw a bunch of interceptions during that time, and it's sort of understandable that he did that, right? This past year, he finally had talent around him, both offensively and defensively. I've said this a couple times in the preseason now. To me, they're the most well-rounded team in the NFL if you take the Patriots out of the equation. In addition to having talent around him, he, you know, obviously Pro Bowl running back, Pro Bowl wide receiver, other good receivers behind him. In addition to having that talent around him, he cut down on the interceptions, which was his big problem, and he did a good job. But if you really know what's going on, Philip Rivers has that hilarious, like, dart throwing, shot putting throwing motion where he like pushes the ball out instead of slinging it. And that's caused his arm to wear down over time. And whereas somebody like Ben Roethlisberger or Tom Brady, their arms are the same that they've been as of the past few years. Breeze and Rivers' arms have declined pretty significantly. And Rivers isn't doing as much by himself as he used to. So it's just it's baffling that you would – like if you're going to pick Rodgers or Rivers and you're ranking a Rivers above Rodgers, you're just getting too cute. And especially to put Rivers 9 points over a Ben Roethlisberger is complete lunacy. And it's weird that you get paid for this.
do you think Mahomes should be the number one rated quarterback? Is that the guy who you'd choose if you had to?
At this very moment, for sure. Definitely. I mean, because of course Mahomes has the benefit of having some incredible players. I mean, he's got the fastest person legitimately maybe in the history of the NFL at wide receiver with Hill, and he's got Kelsey, and he had Hunt, and he has Andy Reid calling plays. But we've all seen the highlights. Patrick Mahomes is – he's the man right now, and he's what Aaron Rodgers was before these injuries. He has one of the best arms in the history of the NFL. That's no hyperbole. You guys have seen him run to the left and throw back to the right and do things that only Favre and Elway and Rodgers have been able to do. He fantastic mobility, great durability, incredible accuracy, clutch, cool, calm, collected. He's definitely the number one, and then I would think that Rodgers would be the number two. I get it why they're going to ding Rodgers for being injured a little bit, and I'm okay with that, but not as much as they did, and not overthinking it with, you know, putting Breeze and some of these other guys above him.
Well, I want to apologize for doing this list verbally, but just to give you an idea. So Mahomes, Brady at two, Rivers at three, Breeze at four, got Andrew Luck at five.
Yep.
Russ Wilson at six. As you said, Aaron Rodgers at seven, Matt Ryan at eight, and then Ben at nine. How many in your list people does Ben jump over?
You know what? Matt Ryan, I would jump him over Matt Ryan for sure. I would put Phillip Rivers as well. I would put Phillip Rivers and Matt Ryan behind Ben. And then the rest of those guys, I get it, you know, for sure. Like, in my opinion, the rankings for the quarterbacks right now are at this very second – it's kind of a neck and neck between Patrick Mahomes, who I'll give the edge to at number one, then Aaron Rodgers, just because those two guys, they can do more than everyone else. They have the absolute elite arm talent that only someone like a Josh Allen who can compare with those guys. And Josh Allen obviously lacks so many of the other things that those guys do well. They have the elite arm talent. They have the accuracy. They have the mobility. And then Rodgers has the experience. I mean, he's seen everything that you need to see, but he's taken a lot of injuries over the past 2 years. So I'll put Mahomes at one. I'd put Rodgers at two. I would definitely put Russell Wilson at three. If you guys have had the privilege of watching Russell Wilson play the past few years, which a lot of people don't, he plays on the West Coast in Seattle. He's just like, he's team proof. He's had one of the worst offensive coordinators for his whole career. He's had a bottom two offensive line for the past 3 or 4 years, really ever since they won that first Super Bowl. Decent wide receivers, no running game. And this guy just it doesn't matter. It does not matter who you put around him at coach or players. He escapes and he makes elite throws all game long. I'd put Andrew Luck after him because I think he's a similar version of that. We finally see Andrew Luck with an offensive line and some weapons around him. He's also he's teammate proof and scheme proof. He took a 1-15 team to 10-6 and to the playoffs, you know, a year after. And then after that, I might put Brady, then Ben, then Breeze. Just because I think Breeze was not great over the second half of last year. People will forget that because it's an easier story to talk about, you know, him as an overall player, as one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. But like I said, with him and Rivers, there's noticeable decline on their arm talent, which is a big deal because that closes off a ton of your playbook and it makes you less effective as a quarterback. But he's obviously a human computer back there. I think Brady is also a human computer, but he still has the arm.
Okay.
That was insane. But you know what? It's important to me and it's important to America. So we'll talk about that, but we can get into some Steelers related stuff here.
Let's talk about Mike Tomlin's interview on ESPN with Jeremy Fowler. Fascinating look into the man's inner network.
Tomlin gave an interview to Jeremy Fowler on ESPN, and I don't know why he did it. And that's almost what I want to talk about today. He really didn't say anything. So part of me wonders, like, did the Steelers ask him to do these, like, as a favor, as like a sort of, I wouldn't say like a contractual thing, but like, hey, you know, get out there and say something.
I think it's mandated. Do you think Belichick? I mean, look, I think these guys are required to do these interviews. And you're seeing the results of guys who are playing a little passive aggressive.
Well, it's so funny. A lot of people are like, oh, Tomlin, he's the worst interview. He never gives you a good interview. And that couldn't be further from the truth for me. And like, the guy is a human quote machine. You might laugh at some people think his quotes are stupid. I love them. I buy into it. The standard is the standard. You're damn right it is.
Well, he's I wouldn't call him Yogi Berra, but some of the way the turn of a phrase the man could put together on the fly is unbelievable. I've been trying to collect Tomlinisms this season just so maybe just interject a little humor, but he has so many. That's what makes me think this stuff just comes out of the guy's head. I mean, he's a William & Mary grad. He has a vocabulary, but he strings together words in ways that are forensically unattainable.
Nobody else does that from a coaching perspective. There's
it's kind of poetic.
It is actually, you got to give him credit. It's poetic. One that I always use, bumps and bruises associated with our profession. That's the one I always love, the way his response to injuries, which, hey, ladies and gentlemen out there, you can apply that to your own life. You know, when something happens at the job, that's unexpected, you know, everything's going okay. And then somebody comes in there and screws it up, or someone gets fired and their responsibilities get put onto you, and whatever unexpected event that occurs, you know, and bumps and bruises associated with our profession, and we embrace it and we enjoy it. So he's got some good ones. That he did take a, I wouldn't say a hard stance, but he did sort of double down on the comments he made earlier in the summer, with the cleansing comment. He said there's been a cleansing of sorts when he was asked about Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown leaving the Steelers. And he said, well, he responded to it with yet another Tomlinism. I meant what I said. I said what I said. And then he sort of finessed his way around it, saying, well, I don't know. He might have not really finessed his way around it. This might have been a way for him to express the doubling down on, like, yeah, I think that those guys needed to leave, because he said, I meant what I said. He didn't say regarding the cleansing. It was just in response to Jeremy Fowler asking about the cleansing comment. He said, I meant what I said. I think that there is something to be said for people who want to be here. And I think in order to win a championship, I'm paraphrasing here, you need men who buy in, who want to be here, who have something to lose, who are going to go all in for this. And I think he said another one, basically like, oh, a desire to be part of something bigger than yourself and to put selfish ambitions aside. And I couldn't help but feeling that was a direct commentary towards AB, to Le'Veon as well, but especially to AB. And that's actually kind of big. Maybe we're understating this here.
Well, who knows what was in his head, but I would say that the selfishness, I don't agree with that. First of all, it really can't apply to Le'Veon, because Le'Veon paid a price. He paid a big price for his sacrifice. He rolled the dice, and as far as AB goes, I agree with selfish. He had a nice deal. He had a signed contract, and he acted out, and the Steelers couldn't take it anymore. That's selfish. But you know what? As we've said 100 times before, the owners don't care about these guys. And even the fans don't care. Have a bad season, and they're putting you on the next railroad out of town.
Yeah, Boswell. Look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tough, man. It's weird, because you know that someone like a Boswell is a liability this year towards winning the Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. So why should they be any more loyal than fans and owners are to the players?
Right. They should not be. And that's a big just public sentiment that needs to change about the NFL, because nobody blinks an eye when, you know, a franchise wants to get rid of a Chris Boswell because he was horrifically bad last year. Like, he deserves to be gotten rid of. But no one says anything when Le'Veon Bell in his third year is arguably the best running back in the year, you know, in the NFL, in that 2016 or whatever it is, him and like Ezekiel Elliott. But no one in the audience is saying, hey, you should give him a raise. He's getting paid like a second rounder. No one ever suggested that. Zero people. And now it's coming out more that like Melvin Gordon's starting to want to hold out in the last year of his contract. Ezekiel Elliott is talking about holding out of Cowboys camp, and they're going to get painted in a negative light. I agree with you with the Le'Veon thing. With the AB thing, I don't know. It kind of goes both ways, because they've treated Antonio Brown great the whole time that he was in Pittsburgh. They still, at the end of the day, take these Pittsburgh discounts, and you know, we don't renegotiate contracts until your contract expires, unless you're a quarterback. So there are a lot of things that Pittsburgh Steelers make you do that, where they sort of like leverage their reputation and their history. But they gave AB all those advances. They made him the highest paid receiver, and you could say, oh, he wasn't the highest paid in guarantees. But like you and I have gone over here, if you look at the history of the Steelers and their guarantees, like, you get paid out unless you drop off the face of a cliff. And so I thought that they treated Antonio Brown very well. And it just sort of seems very obvious to me that Antonio Brown, he's a very prideful guy, and he got very angry at Mike Tomlin, turning the nation against him for missing the Bengals game. And, I think he also got, I think he sensed the presence of somebody taking away his targets with Juju Smith-Schuster. And I think he spun his exit on other things, like a feud with Ben or this or that. But really, he's about getting the most catches he possibly can get and maybe getting closer to California or something like that.
I want to clarify, I'm not giving him a pass for that. I can understand it's a brutal business, but I do feel, I'm not sure you need gratitude, but he had his deal and he broke it and he went about it in a poor way.
I just wonder why this.
He had a good deal. And I just wonder why the Steelers didn't force it. I guess they really did just want to take a broom and clean things up, because they could have said, sit out, AB, sit out a year, because we were going to lose the $20 million whether he played or he didn't.
That, and we talked about that in there, and we'll never know. But there's still a benefit to that, because the big thing is that we're still on the hook for the $21 million against the salary cap this year. And I think they're not even totally out of the weeds next year, too. And that's the big changer, because if you didn't have to, like, if you didn't have that huge salary cap, I could see you getting rid of Brown, because you're trying to make a full football team. You do have a Juju Smith-Schuster who may not be Antonio Brown, but he's obviously a really good receiver. And you have other guys behind him who's like, hey, maybe our receivers will go from an A-plus to a B-plus, but that's above the line. And if we get, you know, $20 million to spend on a, you know, what if you were able to get Roby, you know, what's his name? Brandon Roby, the cornerback from the Broncos. He's now in Texas, whatever. The main cornerback the Steelers were trying to get. What if you could get Roby and Steven Nelson? And now you have Roby, Nelson, Hayden, and Hilton as your cornerback room. I get that, but that's not the case. They still have to pay for the guy even when he's gone. So I don't know. Maybe they just were really, really tired of these distractions of the past few years. And so far, it looks like there's something to be said for that, because the vibe around the locker room and the media has been dialed down, you know, since the waves have died down after the AB leaving. But we won't know until we see the final record, really.
Well, let's bring it back to Tomlin. I don't know if you have any more to say about that, but I bring it back to Tomlin, ESPN in particular. During this offseason, I'm just looking for our stories, and really sort of ESPN just keeps feeding these little video clips out, and they always mention the Steelers. As you've pointed out 100 times, they have no idea what they're talking about. And I want to tell you the latest quote. And I wish I had the guys, which guy said this, but he said, he's talking this morning about how the Steelers just sort of reset in the locker room. We're past that point where Ben ran those players out of town, meaning Le'Veon and AB.
I didn't even hear that.
Yeah, it was one of those short clips that that they have on the website. Player. I wish I could go back and find it. I would if I could. But I, you know, for him to say he ran Le'Veon out of town,
it's factually incorrect.
And AB. We based that whole – was it because Mike Tomlin made AB look bad for not showing up for the Cincinnati game, or because Ben made that comment about that interception?
So I mean, we've said this over and over. People would call us Ben apologists, but like, of course, Ben has fault in these issues too. And you know, the way he sort of holds himself above the team, he doesn't wear a helmet at practice. Just he has his own set of rules as a, you know, 15, 16 year vet Super Bowl champion. And, you know, I know people aren't going to like to hear this, but like Tom Brady doesn't do that in New England, and we see what their results are. So we're not saying Ben is blameless, but to say Ben ran these guys out of town, like, you're just, what are you doing? Do you not like Ben? Are you stupid? Are you just looking for an easy angle? Do you not research the Steelers enough? So you sort of like, maybe you're researching, you know, you have to cover all 32 teams, and ESPN requires you to have something interesting to say every time you come on TV. So you know, for, as far as you know, like, well, it sounds like Ben ran them out of town. This isn't the NBA. There's not these like guys calling each other and saying, come to my team, come to my team. It's not like that. They don't have that amount of control. What AB accomplished in getting out of Pittsburgh was nothing short of a miracle. But to say it was Ben who ran those guys out of town is insanity. It did. Le'Veon is gone because he wanted a higher number of guaranteed dollars. That's it. Point blank, period. He bet sort of wrong on that. AB, we'll never know. But we have our theories, and it definitely wasn't just a feud with Ben because AB's career and bank account have done pretty well playing with Ben. And for 99.9% of AB's career, all he had was enormous praise for Ben. And whether that was true or not, it at least showed you he knew how valuable that professional relationship was. So that's just frustrating when people do that. And that's why we have a podcast, because we don't cover all 32 teams, even though I got off topic in the beginning of this podcast with all the quarterbacks.
So there are a couple of fun things, hypotheticals going on Twitter that you identified earlier this week. And one of the questions is, if you could have one former Steeler on the team this year, who would it be?
Right. And that was issued by @StanLoveTheShow, which is Steve Savran. How do you say it? S-A-V-R-A-N. Yeah. So if you could add one former Steeler to this current team, who would it be? And pretty much 90% of the people answered Troy, Woodson, or Mean Joe. Because obviously it'll be great to have another big defensive difference maker. Sorry. Who do you think? Who would you pick?
Well, it's clear. It's a clear selection for me. I didn't even have to think about it. Dan Kreider.
It's Kreider. And no offense to Rosie Nix, but Kreider busts open those holes, baby, and he's our favorite. He's our man. Okay, so obviously, if we take Kreider out of the equation, because any team who has Kreider is in the running for the Super Bowl, is there anybody who comes to mind who you would pick throughout the eras?
I was just trying to think about where we're the weakest, or where we're I don't know if that's the right way to put it.
No, that's fine.
Clearly linebacker. I feel much better about defensive backs. Maybe not as strong as at safety as I do about the corners right now.
Right.
So I guess I'd focus my choices back there, even though – I think universally through the Steeler organization, they'd say Joe Green would be the guy. But I don't feel as insecure about the defensive line
right.
as I do about the secondary.
So,
I mean, it's hard to, you know, Woodson, Polamalu.
Lee Flowers. No. Okay.
Or Lee Flowers. I
agree because, you know, the safeties, they're not bad, Davis and Edmonds, but it's nothing to write home about, and they have nothing behind them, so that's sort of terrifying. That's kind of the one area on the team besides kicker. Can we choose 2017 Boswell? Because that might be my choice, because that guy was unbelievable, and right now that, to me, is the biggest question mark on the Steelers besides, you know, how is the offense going to do without Antonio Brown? You know, I know we have other receivers there, but that bend to AB has been pretty much how the offense has been operating for not quite a decade, but almost that much. You know who I would pick? And I realize this because the first one that comes to my mind is Troy. Yeah, like, okay, your safeties are mediocre. Let's take one of the greatest playmakers, not only in Steelers history, but in the history of the NFL. And he probably is the best idea, but you know who I'm going to pick?
Who?
I'm picking Shazier. Huh. I'm picking pre-injury Shazier. Imagine... Uh-huh. Because I do think Sean Davis and Edmonds can do a decent job at the safety position. I agree with you that I sort of like the outside corners. Imagine Ryan Shazier and Devin Bush at linebacker. At that point, you have the fastest defense in the entire NFL. And the blitzes from the middle linebacker position are going to be outrageous. Shazier is a splash guy. He's a 3-interception-a-year kind of guy. So maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe the easiest answer is Troy Polamalu. But I just think that if you have a defensive front like that, you've got a defensive line that we're a fan of. You've got, you know, Harrison's another good one. If you compare Harrison with TJ Watt, really you could just focus on, you know what? I'm changing it. I choose Prime Harrison. Prime Harrison. Right. Yes, because I think Prime Harrison with TJ Watt creates an elite pass rush. You'd be one of the top five sort of pass rushing teams in the wow. You'd have Harrison and Watt, who I expect to take a big leap this year as he took last year. That's going to make Cam Hayward so much better, who has been an excellent pass rusher over the past few years while they've simplified the Steelers defense and changed the responsibilities of the Steelers 3-4 defensive end position from, hey, just hold guys up and clog things up like they asked Aaron Smith to do. They've changed that to, hey, Cam, go get the quarterback. If you have Harrison and Watt on either side and Tuitt, Hargrave, and Hayward in the middle, those guys in the back end aren't going to have to cover for nearly as long. And Harrison, he's evil. He's evil. He scares the crap out of people. So you're going to have that sort of attitude. You're going to have that sort of leadership. You got Harrison and Williams and Hayward leading and Hayden leading that defense. I'm taking prime James Harrison.
Okay. That's an interesting analysis. I think that's really good. I would make one argument for Troy or Ron Woodson. What their talents do is obviate or at least take the pressure off of the linebacker just because you sort of get a 2-for-1 with those guys. They just were all over the field. But
yeah.
your argument's pretty compelling. I mean, because you get a 2-for-1 in that you free up Cam Hayward. I agree with that. I mean, guys would be coming from everywhere.
Yeah.
Can we still get Harrison? He still probably can lift more than anybody on the Steelers.
Harrison, right? He was their best. Did you see Manny?
So 40, Manny Pacquiao won last night at 40, you know, the boxer won at 40 years old last night. So 40 is the new 30.
He was really good in the Super Bowl for the Evil Empire Patriots. Mm-hmm. He was their best player in that game. You know what? At the end of the day, it probably is. I'm sticking with my Harrison pick. But the obvious reason to pick Troy, besides like, oh, he's a one-man defense, is that he just screws the offensive game plan up. You know, you just don't know where he's going to be. I picked Harrison because it's just a consistent, you know, 60 snaps a game. You're going to have to, like, you're going to break down eventually if you have Woodley and Harrison, the second coming, which would be Harrison and Watt, right? But Troy, the thing about him is it's only a matter of time before he makes a big play. And the offense is just living in fear the whole time. But, you know, James Harrison will either eat your children or take their participation trophies away. So you have to worry about that too.
Did you see that Alex Cazora, I think it was him who tweeted something out this week, James Harrison's best game. And I forget it was, but he had 3.5 sacks.
Oh yeah.
Always 6 quarterback hits, an interception.
Yeah.
Like 3 forced fumbles and a fumble recovery. It was an insane game for him.
We've referenced that on the podcast before. I don't know if that was
I should listen to our podcast.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I don't know if that was his first start. I always had it in my head that was his first start, and I could be wrong there because I feel like Alex would have included that in the tweet if that were the case. But I will always remember that game, and I even think like on his interception return he jumped over a guy. I mean, it was just a highlight fest, and it was against the Ravens, and he's a tough one, man, because I feel like he's at like a Jerome Bettis level sort of player, although Jerome got much higher in the all-time rankings for his position, you know, in terms of overall running back yardage. He made it into the top 5, and Harrison didn't make it that high in the sacks because he took a roundabout way to his stardom, and really Harrison was an absolute dominant force for, you know, really only 3 or 4 years there. But after those 3 or 4 years, he's still like a Pro Bowl level player. So he's a guy I don't think we'll get into the Hall of Fame, but he's an interesting question. Him and Hines, you know, obviously one of the best Steelers ever.
Yeah. So the other little contest or little guessing game out there is from Neil Coulong, and he set out a set of 4 possible scenarios and asked where we thought the highest percentage of them actually occurring would be.
Yeah, like pick one of these 4 scenarios. If you had to bet money, which one of these will be true?
So let me can I list them?
List them.
Sorry to do this. Okay.
You're the man.
What is the probability of Boswell kicking over 88% in field goals? What is the probability that Bud Dupree will have more than 6 sacks? Probability of Ben throwing fewer than 9 interceptions? And the probability of the Steelers getting over more than 10 wins. Boswell over 88% on the field goals, Dupree 6 sacks, been under 19 interceptions.
Nine.
Steelers under 10 wins.
Under nine. Jeez, hopefully nine. Under 19 should be a foregone conclusion. But yeah, and it's not even really the probability. It's just, hey, Boswell, will he or won't he get over 88%? So I'll tell you right away, two things of these I'm crossing out right away. Dupree over six sacks, that's a guarantee. That's a guarantee. You guys heard it here first. So many people online were listing that as the one that's never going to happen, but over six sacks. Now, I don't know how many sacks he had last year. Maybe you can look that up real quick while I filibuster here. But I'm not saying that Bud's going to turn into a star, but I think that Bud, I think he had seven or eight sacks last year. Obviously, he's been limited by injuries, significant injuries that have kept other players out, and he's played through them. So I think he'll be a little better this year. But like I've said before, you know, he doesn't have any pass rush moves and he doesn't have any bend. You're not going to develop that year five in the NFL, right? So I'm not saying he's going to become a star, but he is an elite NFL athlete. And we've seen him get, you know, cleanup sacks every year. And he will get those sacks when the quarterback is running around for 7 seconds and there's a busted play, because that's when you take pass rush moves out of the equation. He just runs the guy down because he's a world-class athlete. Also, he's an excellent tool on stunting and blitzing for the defensive coordinator. When he blitzes, when they stunt him around, so like instead of running around the offensive tackle, he might loop inside and go in between the guard and the center. That's a great move for him because, again, it takes the art out of the equation. It takes the pass rush move out of the equation. It's basically, Bud, go be fast and strong and then tackle the quarterback. And he can do that. So I think he'll fall into seven or eight sacks. Six almost seems low to me. Now, the only thing that makes me think he might not get that is because the Browns are good now, and he used to get, you know, two sacks a year against the DeShone Kizer Browns. But I think he's going over six. That seems low to me.
Well, looking at what his history has been, I'm not so sure. So it's 4, 4.5, 6, 5.5 last year. What's changed that's going to result in him having more than what he has historically? His high has been six.
Well, I guess I would, I like I said, I would top it at eight, honestly, but hopefully he'll be healthy this year. I'll roll the dice on that. And the defense is better. The defense is the best year, is on paper, the best it's been in, you know, the past 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 years.
So the betterment of the team is the ascendancy of TJ Watt. The secondary, which might hold up the quarterback from passing, giving Bud some more time to get to the quarterback. Although I don't know, he's the master of the big question mark that doesn't end.
That's what I'm saying, though. He's not going to get the sacks on that. Like, the question mark is still going to happen. He's not going to learn how to bend around guys, but it just seems to me like he falls into sacks sometimes. And maybe I'm being too overly confident on it, but I think he's going to get to six or seven, and I could see him getting eight. Almost based just on like these cleanup sacks that he gets. And the Steelers have been what, like top three in sacks the last 2 years. So I assume one of the starting defensive, like the edge rushers, is going to get some of those.
So we're going to place our bets here. Who are you betting on?
Well, you know what? I'm going all in and I'm placing that bet. I think Bud is getting seven sacks this year, and I'm going to make that bet on my bookie. It's hard to believe, but football is almost back and it's betting time, baby. Let's bet on that boy, Bud Dupree. The NFL preseason kicks off with the Hall of Fame game on August 1st, and soon we will have regular season NFL and college football. That means it's time to make an account at the best online sports book known to man and woman. That's right. I'm talking about my bookie. Sports betting is exploding in popularity. If you want to get in on the action with a trusted company that's been in business for years, MyBookie is the place for you. With an easy, no-hassle mobile site, 24/7 customer service, and bets on every sport and prop imaginable, MyBookie provides fun, safe betting experiences. Maybe you think that Ben Roethlisberger is going to throw for 9,004 yards. Do it on MyBookie. If you deposit today, MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus. That's big time. You put in $100 and they give you $50. You put in $1,000, they'll give you $500. math. It's that easy. Football weekends are the best, but they're even more thrilling when every touchdown can win you money. So go to mybookie.ag. Remember, it's .ag, not .com. And sign up today with promo code OUTPOST25. And MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. And now let's get back to the rest of those over-unders on the probability. So we said Bud Dupree, I'm guaranteeing it. He's getting over six sacks. It might be 6.2. It might be 7, but it's not just 6. And Ben, 9 interceptions, under 9 interceptions. You can cross that one right off the list, baby. He's definitely throwing 10 or more, but he's going to throw way more touchdown passes than interceptions because he's got to go deep and he's going to make things happen. So that doesn't even bother me. I think if he keeps it below, 12, then we'll be in much better standing than the 16 he had this past year or whatever it was.
Did we talk about whether the Steelers win more than 10 games?
So that's a push for me. I sort of see 10 as the high watermark for them. And I think that this division is difficult, and who knows what will happen with injuries around the division, but the Browns are good, man. And I know people want to say, oh, they haven't won before. Well, they never had a team filled with elite players before either. So let's not pretend like it's going to be total rocket science. This happened. The Rams were the worst team ever, and then Sean McVay gets there, and they're one of the best teams. So I think that that's a little bit of an overthought on them not having won before. I'm like, okay, yeah, other people who were called the Browns didn't win before, but now they have really good players and a coach who did a good job last year. So I think that'll be tough, but I do think there is value in that those Browns aren't experienced in divisional races of this type of magnitude. And just they don't have a lot of experience in general. And the Steelers have that incredible blend of youth. They're one of the 10 youngest teams in the league and experience, especially when you go to everybody's pretty much played in the playoff game. And then you have the big guys with Ben and Tomlin and Pouncey and Ramon who have played forever and been to Super Bowls and stuff like that. So, but 10 wins, I think they can gut it out. I feel like the Browns, Steelers, and Ravens will all be around that 10 wins. So I wouldn't put money on them getting over that.
And I'm going to bet with my heart and say the boss will kick over 88% field goals.
I knew you were on that. Your boss is the biggest fan. And he needs that at a time like this.
Hey, so everybody we're listening to is breathing a sigh of relief because training camp is around the corner and the Steelers start this Friday at St. Vincent's. And what I love is that they have this whole schedule of former Steelers that will be there for a meet and greet, starting with Merrill Hoge. And I know.
Now I'm eating it.
I shouldn't – I mean, some of these guys – I mean, Donnie Shell for sure – Charlie Batch is a great guy to have.
So, let me ask you a question. Yeah. I don't know why, but this just came to me. Do they have Hank Poteet?
You know what?
Damn it.
They could. He works for them.
He's one of my favorite Steelers ever. Hank and Antoine and Amos Zerway were my obviously Cordell were my first favorite Steelers.
Let me just throw out a couple of guys kind of surprised. Actually, a lot of these guys. Randy Grossman.
Classic.
John Banaszak. Do you even know who John Banaszak is?
I will.
Yeah, you read the book. I know.
Right with you? No, I don't know who John Banaszak is. I'm sorry. There are some people yelling at us on here. I'll take you any day.
That's a lot.
I don't know John Banaszak.
All right, Greg Warren. There's going to be a line out the door to say hi to Greg.
Yep, of course.
And Jason Gilden.
Wow, is he still the Steelers sack leader, or did Harrison take that?
I thought Harrison took that.
I think Harrison took it at the end.
But the other throwback is John Kolb, and they're matching that's him the up one. With Arthur Motes on the same day, probably because John's not going to be able to last the full hour. But that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Arthur Motes, he's the man.
I know. Another guy who works for the Steelers.
I can't really think of another guy who's only been in town for just a very short period of time and is loved like that. D'Angelo Williams did a pretty awesome job himself as well. Deuce Staley didn't work out the same way, but – Moats, quite the impression in a small amount of time. He's the man.
Yeah. So anyway, we have that to look forward to, and we'll be reporting on that next week. Anything else?
We won't be there, which is nobody's fault but our own and other factors that are in our lives. But you know what I think we should do right now? That we commit on air. in person. We'll be there next year. So you guys can look forward to that.
Next year. That's easier to commit to.
Not this year. Because it's
still have to sell it to your mother.
And I have to start a Kickstarter to get that plane ticket. But next year, we'll be on the ground, and there will be short shorts, and there will be whistles, and there will be dumbbells, and there will be action. But not this year, but next year. That's what we call a tease in the radio business. So that's for you guys out there and ladies.
Okay. Glad you listened. I'm glad the technology worked on in this remote area that I'm at. Visit Santa Fe, pretty cool place.
You're in a teepee, right?
There's a teepee right outside my door, right next to the bar I'm going to visit right now to type up the notes here and get this podcast out on the airwaves.
I apologize to everybody. I went too hard on the random NFL, the quarterbacks and the Madden rankings. So you can see, I guess I'm one of the test subjects here as a millennial who went too hard on that.
Yeah, maybe you're in the target demo.
Maybe you can, depending on how much time you have, maybe you can edit that towards the end and we'll let people get to the Steelers action quicker. But hey, you guys are getting a peek inside the curtain right now towards Steelers Outpost production. These are the conversations that need to be had. But hey, if you don't understand the rest of the league, you don't understand the Steelers as much as you need to. So I take everything back. I stand by it.
Thanks for listening. Check us out on Instagram at Steelers Outpost. Hit us up on Twitter at Steelers Outpost. Leave us a note on the website, SteelersOutpost.com, or shoot us an email at SteelersOutpost@gmail.com. Until next week, thanks for listening. Go Steelers.
Okay, bye-bye.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.